Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
All right. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matt Rury. This is the CLNS Radio Celtics the show, and tonight I get to discuss a victory. Yep, that's right. Celtics win down in Madison Square Garden playing against the New York Knicks. They take this one 108-97. I'm going to get the score right this time right off the bat because those of you that have listened in the past know that on the last post-game show I did it was just horrible. And I got the score wrong multiple times, so I'm going to make sure I get it right tonight. 108-97, Celtics win. The Knicks are just pitiful. So speaking of Calvin Chamberlain, here he is. Hello, Calvin.
Hello, Ray. Boy, not a lot of pre-show stuff this time, huh?
Well, for those of you that have heard the very beginning of the show, Nick Gelso has just a 30-second clip talking about Lynda.com, which, of course, is what powers CLNS Radio right now. Lynda.com/CLNS is where you need to go to get your free 10-day trial, and I will tell you a little bit more about that later in the show. But for now, Calvin, I was just telling the fine people that listened that the final score was 108-97, and I'm just going to pound that number in there because last time we did a show together, I got it wrong for the first 35 to 40 minutes.
Definitely 108-97.
The other number you need to know is the phone number. It's 347-215-7771. You can hit us up on Twitter as well at CLNS Radio. And of course, we're on Facebook. So head on over to clnsradio.com/Facebook to navigate to that page. All right, Calvin, this is going to be a really fun one to talk about. Can you hear the excitement in my voice about this one tonight?
I can, Ray. But you're really good at selling it, so maybe you're just lying. I don't know, but we'll find out.
I am really good at selling it. Maybe I should play this as well. Yeah, I should have led off with that. That's what I usually do. Anyway, that signifies that we are now on the show together, Calvin, and we can begin talking about the Boston Celtics.
All right, let's do it. Where would you like to begin, Ray?
I'm going to start with the man that deserves all the praise for tonight's game. People should really be, although there are some honorable mentions, but he put the Celtics on his back, 11 of 14 shooting. He looked like he couldn't miss out there. One of his misses was a layup close to the basket that was highly contested. Mr. Avery Bradley is my player of the game. And, Calvin, this may have been the best shooting performance I have ever seen from this kid.
Yeah, it's funny because Chris Mannix wanted to make it he kept making it sound like Avery Bradley was only taking perimeter jump shots. And sure, he took plenty of those. But I actually want to point out the fact that I thought that Avery Bradley was a little bit more aggressive to the basket than he usually is. Normally, he's aggressive to the basket off the ball. You know, he'll do a back cut and he'll get the ball at the rim.
Right.
But I saw him attack the basket a couple of times, hit a couple of jumpers, 8 and 10 feet, and then there was the one play where he just went right at Carmelo Anthony and got the foul. And I was impressed by his aggressiveness in that sense. Sure, he was on his perimeter game, there's no question. And, you know, the huge function of the Celtics offense is designed to get Avery Bradley open shots, and they usually do a pretty good job with that. And he's good at coming off screens. And sometimes you watch the game, and I think part of the criticism I feel like Celtics fans have of Avery Bradley is the fact that he should be hitting more of those because the offense sort of revolves around him. Well, he hit pretty much all of them tonight. And on top of that, again, the thing that really impressed me is the fact that he was taking his dribble in toward the basket more than he normally does. He was attacking, and he looked good a couple of times. He had the Avery Bradley dribble off his knee, dribble off his foot. But, you know, not too many times. I thought he played really well.
Yeah, this is definitely a highlight of his season, and he probably will be a highlight of his career as far as scoring is concerned. He scored 26 points tonight. Not that he won't score more than that at some point in his career, but the shooting was really something to talk about. And the point you made about Chris Mannix on the Comcast broadcast there, switch color guys back and forth, maybe I should apply for as saying, he just kept that Bradley was shooting all these perimeter jumpers. Well, I'll dispel that. And he was also saying that he was taking those bad mid-range perimeter jumpers. I'm not sure, but right now, he was 3 of 5 from three. And if you draw a line just above the free throw line at the circle, at the half circle, whatever you want to call it, 4, 7 of his shots were under. Only three shots that he took tonight were really that, or in that no man's land that's between the half circle and the 3-point line. So they weren't even that deep.
Yeah, and I get a little agitated by the pure analytics guys anyway, talking about what makes a good or a bad shot, period. You know, good and bad shots are also defined by what's happening in the game, how the floor spacing works. The Celtics offense is designed to get Avery Bradley those shots. He comes off a screen and he gets a wide open shot. There's a difference between doing that and, you know, being Carmelo Anthony, having a guy on your back, not to be the 1 billionth guy picking on Carmelo, but he's just the first name that came to mind because he was in this game. But being that guy who, you know, posts up 18 feet out, kind of like Sullinger does a lot of the time. Like, there's a difference between a Jared Sullinger 18-foot shot and an Avery Bradley 18-foot shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, Sullinger's holding the ball for 2 seconds, turning around on his, right, on a man with a hand in his face, whereas Avery Bradley's coming off a screenplay, getting a wide-open shot in the design offense. So I'm not going to criticize him for taking those shots because those are the shots he's supposed to take. Nor am I going to criticize Stevens because, the idea that, like, you can just... I'm sorry to ramble on this, but you probably like it because, really, I'm just eating up more time, but... I'm just tired of this notion that, like, teams only have to take 3-point shots and dunks. Like, that might work for Houston because James Harden is so good at creating contact. But for most teams in the league, you need somebody to be able to hit a shot from that mid-range game, which even if they're not efficient, it still spreads the floor for everybody else. You have to guard Avery Bradley in that situation, and that's part of what leads to more open threes for other guys or, you know, back cuts to the basket for other guys. And even if that shot is not always the most efficient in the league, like, you're not taking into account what that does in your offense in terms of spacing.
I like that you just rambled on about that because the shots that they take, I think it's a kind of a misnomer as well that the mid-range shot is a bad shot. But the whole, it kind of ties into the whole thing that was, we were talking about with the corner threes earlier in this season, session with that. It's like, yeah, if you can get that three, it's a little closer, but you get it, right? You have to get it first. So I feel like just looking at the numbers purely as numbers really doesn't speak for the game of basketball. And that's something that you and I have discussed many times on these airwaves.
Yeah, exactly. You can look, if all you're doing is taking threes and dunking, teams are going to defend the 3-point line. That's why that shot's given to you. If you can't, like guys who can't hit perimeter shots affect the spacing of a team. That was part of the issue with Rondo. It's not just that, like, because Rondo was okay at hitting the three-point shot. It was that Rondo was reluctant to take an open jumper. Your team has to hit those open jumpers, and if they're as good as any team in the league at creating that open shot for Avery Bradley.
Another thing that you mentioned earlier is that he's usually back picks or he's like running around on the baseline. He did times tonight too, but as you said, he was aggressive going to the back. The whole team really tonight, especially in the second half, it seemed was pretty aggressive going towards the basket. They were, I don't know, actually, Calvin, that may be a product of poor play on the Knicks side of things, actually, because the Celtics were getting out on the break a little bit more in the second half as well. And the Knicks ended up having, what's the number? 13 turnovers. But when four of those are from your point guard, Jose Calderon, I mean, things can get a little messy. And you saw Jay Crowder actually break out a couple times and fumble the ball towards the basket. So they were getting to the basket. They just weren't getting shots up.
Well, they had 13 turnovers, but they only had three in the first half. So they had protected the ball well in the first half. Most of those were in the second half. Yeah, a lot of those were bad turnovers. They definitely have point guard issues. We can get to the Knicks because the way they played was totally fascinating to me. But I think definitely part of the Celtics' aggressiveness was the fact that, yeah, the Knicks do have Jason Smith and Lou Amundson, you know, patrolling the lane for most of the game.
Brutal.
You know, Quincy he tried to do a little bit, but not only are none of those guys shot blockers, but none of them are even athletic enough to sort of stay with their man as defenders. Just watching Amundson in that game, man, was pretty embarrassing to me. But so I like the fact that they were aggressive. In fact, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that a little bit that kind of speaks to the point that I wanted to address with you is the new starting lineup. Yet again, the Celtics have a different starting lineup. Brad Stevens went small tonight, and I think he was trying to counteract the fact that it was Lou Amundson and Jason Smith in the front court for the Knicks, in the sense that Tyler Zeller was I don't want to say the same type of player, but a similar type of player and body as Jason Smith, I would guess, even though Zeller ended up having a decent time in his 11 or 9 points, so he did well when he was out there, but I think just in general the fact that you're counteracting these guys like Smith and Amundson with some more athletic players like Brass or Bass, and then bringing Smart into the starting lineup and run with these guys knowing that you have a more talented roster aside from Carmelo Anthony was a good way to look at this game and approach it.
Yeah, I mean, the battle of Tyler Zeller's minutes continues. I get to that in a minute, but I do want to make this quick point on Zeller. Like, you look at his line, he does have 22 points. He shot 11 of 19, but I really thought, he dominated that front line. Like, especially in the first part of the game, you saw that the Jared Zeller, who, you know, was fearless about getting down that block, really going for those offensive boards. You know, really playing hard inside, and then I thought a little bit in the second half again he became the Sullinger who catches the ball on the elbow. Like, Sullinger's not the guy that I want to see taking 18-foot shots because he takes some time getting into
turnaround fadeaways.
Yeah, he's going to do a turnaround fadeaway, and I think, you know, for this particular team, like he seemed like he could do whatever he wanted inside. Like, they couldn't stay with him. They had, you know, they kept fouling him. They kept, you know, his up and under move was working repeatedly. Like, in my mind, like, his not getting position sometimes, I feel like it just comes down to laziness. Because, like, you can't tell me that Jason
Fear.
Smith is going to be able to keep Jared Sullinger out of the post if that's where he wants to be. And I didn't see that enough in the second half. And, I don't want to be too critical because he did go 11-19. But, I mean, if we're talking about it, you know, they're playing the Knicks. Like, there's no reason for him not to do better in that situation.
Right. And, I mean, yeah, he did dominate the game. When you look at the box score, you're going to say, wow, he's the guy. But you know what? He really wasn't on the floor towards the end of that game as I thought he would have been. He did play 36 minutes. He was kind of quiet out there. I don't know. Maybe I was just watching the wrong players, but I felt like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart had much more of an impact on that game than Jared Sullinger did, and he just sort of took what was given to him and thought that Brandon Bass was more explosive than him at times, which is what Brandon Bass is. He's just more explosive than Sullinger, but I feel like Sullinger's effort level is starting to dip here. While I can't really blame him because of the quality of the team that he's on and the fact that they are well under 500, and while, yes, they are close to a playoff spot, it just doesn't look good right now. I can't blame this, but if he is going to become this franchise pillar that people think he can be, he needs to change his attitude. Happen fast, because I worry about this kid here.
Yeah, and I don't know. Some of it could come down to the minute situation. Before this game, he hadn't played well. I'm looking at his game log. The last couple of games, he really hasn't shot the ball very well. So, maybe he was a little tentative tonight. Coming out of that, he really broke his shooting slump tonight.
That's not what I'm saying, though. It's kind of what I'm saying, though. It hasn't seemed like a shot selection or a gameplay problem. It's an effort, and it looks just like frustration and food problem. He seems to be letting himself get down when he's out on the court.
Yeah, I can see that. You're right. I think that, but tonight was not the night for that. Again, he was a dominant force in that first half. Like, there's times where Jared Sullinger plays, and I feel like I see it. The thing that all of you guys see, or that you at least that you saw when, guys like Chelsea were saying that Jared Sullinger was untradeable, there's little moments where I'm like, okay, I kind of see what you're getting at, although untradeable is always ridiculous. But, and then there's other times when, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what you're doing out there. And maybe some of it has to do with the kind of shape he's in, and, maybe he just can't give that kind of effort the entire time that he's out on the floor. Maybe it's just a stamina thing, which I guess I can understand. There's guys like Chris Paul but he's an older player who he's not always Chris Paul. Like, maybe he's one of those guys who's just not always going to be the Jared Sullinger at his peak, and you just have to live with that.
It's possible that we have to stop talking about him as a franchise guy. He can be a solid role player down the line and a guy that will win you many games, sure. But the pillar, the guy that you build around, I think you need to have a little bit better of an end. That's why I didn't necessarily believe that Rajon Rondo, that kind of guy. There we go. Keep dropping his name here on the CLNS Radio postgame show. Before we get into what an abomination the New York Knicks are, with only a few games against them each year, and they're not. I don't really get the opportunity to be on the record and bashing the New York Knicks. So we will do that for a significant period of time. I do want to discuss one other little moment that happened out on the court tonight, Calvin, and it was when James Young came into the game for the first time, and Marcus Smart was still on the floor. The two of them they were standing next to each other, and the camera caught a shot of them. And Mike Gorman, I think, said something about you're looking at the future of Celtics right there. So we're only a few games in. James Young hit 9 three-pointers for the main Red Claws the other night. That may have been last night. Either way, do you buy the fact that James Young, just after this short amount of time that we've seen, can be a future star in this league?
I mean, it's way too early for me to be on the record for that. That he,
I know.
He looked young.
I'm just throwing you under the bus.
He looked young. He looked raw. I mean, he hit 0 three-pointers tonight. But definitely he has an interesting body, he seems to be quick defensively and be able to get around. If he can become a good shooter, I'm not saying a star, but he certainly can be, your 3-and-D type of guy if he is a three-point shooter. Marcus Smart certainly turned himself into a three-point shooter quickly, didn't he? So,
yeah,
maybe James Young can do the same thing. The guy I want to talk about, because I know, you know, Marcus Smart is going to get his credit for how he played in that game, and definitely defensively, Marcus Smart was all over the place, you know, playing the passing lanes, guarding guys bigger than him. He took that charge on Amundsen, and when we get to the next, I get more into Amundsen was just an embarrassment in that game. I don't know, like, does the offense just revolve around him getting the ball on the free throw line? Because the Celtics knew, they knew he was going to catch the ball there two or three times and get charges on him. And it was just an utterly ridiculous offensive sequence. But anyway,
get into that in a few minutes when we do our Bash the Knicks segments. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the guy I want to hit on is Crowder. And again, I know teams are still playing off him because they think he can't shoot. And he's most of his shots tonight were wide open jump shots. His 3-point shot was wide open. But you know what? They're leaving him open, and he's taking advantage of that opportunity. Will he still be able to do that when guys are up on him? I'm somewhat dubious of that. But if he's going to lure teams into a false sense of security out there, and he's going to hit the shots, and good for him offensively and defensively. Right now, he's just a terror. He guarded Carmelo really well, I thought. Marcus Smart had a little bit more trouble with him, but that's to be expected with the height. I thought he played all over the court defensively really well. He had a couple of those plays where the ball just dribbled off his foot because he's not a dribbler, but. He, the thing I like about him is he seems to know what he can do. You know, he knows his limitations, and he tries to stay within his game offensively and defensively. He's like a young Gerald Wallace out there. He's just terrorizing everybody.
His level is extremely high, and he seems to be one of these guys that's a grinder, and he is in the right place at the right time. I think that he has a future. Definitely in this league, but I still struggle with him handling the basketball and shooting the basketball and pretty much doing anything on offense. Rebound and defense, that's what he should do. That's what he should stick to. And if he gets the ball, he should just stop and throw it to someone else. Is that too much to ask? Probably.
Yeah. He's not the best passer, but...
Not the best pass. Maybe what
that pass inside Bellinger, that was sweet. Got play of the game.
Crowder threw a nice pass. There were actually a handful of nice passes tonight. Zeller threw a couple nice passes. Smart threw a couple nice passes. They were definitely filling the lanes. But that kind of leads into the Bash the Knicks segment as well. Thing that you can say positively about the Celtics, you could just flip on the Knicks and say, well, they're playing the Knicks.
Well, you brought up Zeller. I feel like we're going to be on the Knicks for a few minutes. I do want to briefly hit Zeller because, he played only 11 minutes tonight. I feel like, does Brad Stevens just not like Tyler Zeller, or not like, dislike him personally, but I wonder if Brad Stevens just doesn't like his game, because you would think without Kelly Olynyk, okay, Tyler Zeller's it for your backup big man at this point. And the guy, he plays well. I understand that he's got slow feet defensively, and at times he can get burned. But I feel like he works out, to my mind, he's a good one-on-one defender. And maybe the Knicks aren't the team that you want to play him a ton of minutes on because they don't really have anybody who can kill you in the post one-on-one. And so Zeller's just going to be... a liability on the weak side shot blocking situation, but I still feel like he hits the three shots and he's a good passer. When if they ran that pick and roll with him, I don't know what the Knicks could do about it. Like he's good for you offensively. I'm not saying you play him 40 minutes, but I don't get why he only gets 11 minutes, and it's just one night the other game he played 32 minutes and started. They put him on the bench and all of a sudden he's an afterthought.
Yeah, I would think that tonight he would say it's a matchup thing and that he saw something on the Knicks and or in the triangle offense, quote-unquote triangle, that he wanted to go with those other ball. And it's not like he brought in somebody else. It's not like he brought in anything else that was big, I guess. Gerald Wallace to come in and fill some time that Zeller could have played. He legitimately stayed small and pretty much went with his starters the whole way. I guess Jay Crowder played a little bit more than you would think if Zeller was playing as well as he was, but Crowder played really, really well tonight as well. So I would definitely just imagine it's a matchup thing tonight. Can't be easy for Zeller, though, going from 30 minutes to 11 minutes and then back to 20 and up and down, being on this roller coaster. I did see an interview with him the other day, and he basically took it in stride and just said that it was it is what it is, and that's what the coach decides to do, and he's ready to go no matter what. So that's the right to have for sure. But I don't know. I don't think it's that Stevens dislikes him at all. I think he likes Zeller, but he just is looking for a matchup. But you were mentioning play one-on-ones, and before we get into the Knicks, bashing the Knicks, I'm going to keep teasing that because I'm excited to do it. I hate the Knicks. As everybody knows, I hate their fans. They're the worst. I want to ask you, because I remembered that I was going to ask you about this, as my favorite basketball analyst on CLNS Radio, Calvin. I know it worked, but do you think it was a good idea for Brad Stevens to just single cover Carmelo Anthony the entire game?
I do think it was a good idea to single cover Carmelo Anthony the entire game. I understand where you're coming from, because you look at the Knicks roster and you say, like, how many of these guys can hurt you? You know, Calderon is a good shooter. You don't want to leave him. Right. Everyone else, you can pretty much leave. I mean, Jason Smith early in the game was hot from the mid-range. Again, look how effective the mid-range game was early. But, yeah, but other than that, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. has fallen off a cliff this year. So Langston Galloway's, you know, played well since he came in. Although, you know, this was my first real look at Langston Galloway. He's gotten some hype because, you know, he's
more of a slasher.
Well, yeah. My thing with him is but I feel like he's a time hog. He over dribbles and holds onto the ball so long, trying to wait for something to happen. He's trying to create, going back and forth along the 3-point line while everyone else is standing around. Like, the offense seemed really stagnant when he had the ball. And I don't think that he's good as a traditional point guard type. The point being is, like, I don't. Granted, there are a lot of guys that you could double cover Carmelo with, but I think Carmelo's athleticism just isn't there right now. You know, there were times when Carmelo got it in down low. There was a play where Carmelo somehow got behind the defense and he couldn't get up and dunk the ball. He had to go for that layup that was blocked by Marcus Smart. And you're just like, wow, Carmelo, he just doesn't have it. You know, he's not getting up on his jump shots. He's not getting any lift, really.
Yeah. There's something wrong with his knee. So that leads me to ask, why is he even playing? Like, why? I mean, I know he wants to play, but isn't there a point where you look at the roster and you say, we're 10 and 40, whatever, 10 and 30, whatever it is, and just shut him down?
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of in regards to that is the idea that, like, Carmelo wants to, like, showcase how good he still is, with the idea that they're going to have to make that pitch to free agents. And the only way they're getting free agents in New York, I mean, other than selling New York, is selling Carmelo Anthony. And if he's out, if he just, you know, if he leaves for the rest of the season, then Carmelo Anthony is selling, like, okay, I had to stop playing in February and I missed the last 2 months of the season, but I'm healthy now. You know what I mean? Carmelo's trying to show that, like, I'm still Carmelo Anthony, and look what I can do. Other than that, I mean, that's the stretch.
There isn't much else. There isn't much else going on in New York tonight, or anywhere throughout the season, I should say, for the Knicks, because they are just so bad. 10-39. Guess what? That is good enough for second worst record in the NBA. The only team. Worse, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who actually beat the Celtics the other night, but beating the Knicks, just don't care how bad they are. I like doing it. Celtics beat, like, doing games that when the Celtics beat. And I just, part of the reason that I didn't beat earlier, I didn't know if the Celtics would beat the Knicks, and I didn't want to be there to see a loss to those stupid Knicks. But let's get into really how and why they are so bad. But before I do that, I'll remind you that the Celtics were really, really bad at learn a little bit a time in Celtics history much worse than what we're going through. And you should go pick up Larry H.'s new book, The Fall of the Boston Celtics. You can find his radio. You can also tweet him at CLNS_LR. Check out that book. It's about the doldrums of the Celtics. How's that?
Not too shabby.
Okay. How about the Knicks? It's right now. Can we just acknowledge the fact the triangle is not the way to go in this situation? They should just scrap it and find a new offense. Can we agree there?
Oh, we definitely can agree there. But as Chris Mannix pointed out repeatedly, they're not even running the triangle offense. But
they're not.
More importantly, I've never liked the triangle offense. I didn't like it when the Lakers played it. So
hold on, Calvin. They're not running the offense, but some of those plays where Lou Amundsen had those charges and he's catching the ball at the free throw line, that's stuff that Derek Fisher is trying to build off of stuff that he saw with the Lakers, is it not?
I know they're trying to run that high post and have the cutter swirl around the center, but they don't have they didn't have the cutter swirling around him. So no, I mean, yeah, he's maybe starting position wise, you can argue it's a triangle, but that's not an NBA offense. Like, you know, maybe they go stand there originally, but I saw so many plays where Galloway would hold the ball. I saw this three times in the first half. He'd hold the ball and he would point at one guy to move one way, and he would point at another guy to move the other way. He's like literally telling dudes where to go, like with his arm. I've almost never seen that in an NBA game. Murray,
no, that's pickup basketball. That's gym rat basketball.
I'm going to blow your mind with this stat too. So I looked at the shot chart several times during the game because, you know, sometimes it's interesting. And the Knicks didn't have a shot from the left side of the court for the entire first half. All of their shots came from the same side, the same half of the court. They took six threes in the first half from the exact same spot. They hit one of six because they don't run their offense like across the entire half of the court. They just sort of run little miniature screens in just on that side. They can't swing the ball across to the other side. So the guy standing in the corner on the other end, whoever it is pretty much never getting the ball. Or at least he didn't in this game. Zero shot. Just think about that. They only used half of the court for the first half. I don't know how that's possible.
It's because they're so utter that they don't even know how to use the whole court the other side of the court. Listen, they're poor. Their coaching staff is not doing anything to help. It just seems as though they're like, whereas Brad Stevens has some players that aren't that good, but he still tries to put them in a spot that makes them succeed, it seems. Whereas the Knicks are just trying to run this rigid offense and let Carmelo do his thing and have these guys that should be doing things other than what they're doing. Lou Amundsen should not be running an offense through the high post, period, ever. Not one play, ever.
You know what's interesting to me is that, like, so Phil Jackson, and I know this is Derek Fisher's team, but it's, you know, still technically, it's also Phil Jackson's team because he's the one who put it together, though he didn't put everybody together. But the point is, like, he wanted the triangle. He brought in Fisher, who's his disciple. But
exactly.
his teams have always been built around an isolation ball scorer, even though the triangle is not an isolation ball style of offense at all. Like, Carmelo Anthony never does anything in the triangle. Like, Kobe never did anything in the triangle. Like, the triangle would just hand him the ball and let him, you know, create for himself or for teammates. But, like, that was one of my criticisms of the triangle. Like, Kobe came off a screen, like, maybe 10 times in his career. Like, the Lakers never ran pick and rolls. But you'd think the Knicks, like, Jose Calderon is a great pick and roll point guard. He and Carmelo can run pick and rolls. Carmelo's big enough. Granted, he probably doesn't set the best pick, but, like, you know, he's big enough, and Calderon's so good at shooting that guys are going to have to stay with him. Why aren't there's so many things that the Knicks could do to. They're still going to be bad because you look at their roster and it's terrible. They're terrible defensively. They don't have a shot blocker. They don't have rebounding. They don't have a point guard, so they're going to turn the ball over too much. I mean, there's no solutions for any of these things. But they could be a little better. But, you know, maybe they don't want to be. I don't know.
They're just terrible all around. And I mean, they have their own draft pick this year. Do you think that's part of the reason that they are doing nothing? And they stink?
It could be. I mean, I think that they were sort of destined to be bad anyway. I think they were just they had enough money to pay Carmelo only. They were trying to ride this season out. I mean, obviously, once they traded J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert, it was
And they got Lou Amundsen back. Good for you, Knicks.
Right.
Lou Amundsen. Seriously, this guy. Ugh, it's brutal.
Right. Yeah, they could have tried for Deion Waiters back. Instead, they ended up with Lou Amundsen. Okay, so you got Deion Waiters for nothing, basically. So at that point, the Knicks, you know, it's like the Celtics trading Rondo and Jeff Green. Like, the writing's on the wall at that point. That, like, if not the coaching staff necessarily, but the writing's on the wall with management. Like, clearly they gave up on the season at that point, and now they're playing out the string.
Right. Yep, not invested, and they just don't care. Although before this game, they had as many wins in their last 7 games as they did in their previous 41. So, good for the Knicks in the past couple of weeks. They've done pretty well. Maybe they need to go to lynda.com and figure out how to game plan against some of the bad teams in the Eastern Conference. Maybe lynda.com could help the Knicks do better than 6-24 in the conference and 3-21 on the road. Maybe they can find a way to win a road game here or there. Tonight's game was at Madison Square Garden. I'm going to call Carmelo Anthony, and I'm going to tell him that he can get a 10-day free trial to lynda.com, and they will help him diagnose his knee problem better, because they have tutorials on just about anything that you can imagine. There you go. Head on over to lynda.com/CLNS, lynda.com/CLNS, and grab your 10-day free trial. And, of course, I'm just kidding about Carmelo Anthony, but really, Lynda has tutorials and software and training for software like Excel, WordPress, Photoshop. There are experts on this website that can help you with pretty much anything. If you're looking to get a new hobby or you just want to set some new goals, update your resume, whatever it may be, lynda.com can help you out. So go check that out. And like I said, free 10-day trial if you head over to lynda.com/CLNS.
Free.
Go.
I mean, Carmelo Anthony is a smart guy. But he doesn't know everything. I'm sure there are things that he could learn from lynda.com.
Well, what would you want to learn from Lynda there, Calvin?
I'd want to learn what Carmelo Anthony needs to learn. That's the first thing I'd want to learn.
Maybe they could tell you that. Maybe there's a tutorial about that.
I could use a tutorial on how to do a post-game show podcast, I suppose.
There you have it. Maybe Nick Gelso would be teaching that tutorial. I don't think he's affiliated in that way, but he is an expert, right? I could have just rolled right into that one too. I should have just. Speaking of experts, Jared Weiss does a wonderful job with the Garden Report on YouTube.com/CLNSRadio. Boom. He's going to do one tomorrow night as well because the Celtics are back in town and they are taking on the wonderful – wait, what? Oh, that's the wrong thing. Terrible. That's what I thought. The Nuggets are in town. I was thinking Atlanta, but that's next week. The Nuggets are in town tomorrow night. So Bobby Krivitsky, Sean Backe will be on the show after that game. And like I said, we'll be doing the Garden Report and calling in to the post-game show. So check out all the good stuff that he does there on youtube.com/CLNSradio. He even did a quick Garden Report before the Super Bowl after the game on Sunday. So go take a look at that thing. We're sort of winding down here, Calvin. I think I'm losing a little bit of steam on this game tonight, but I do want to continue just smashing the Knicks for a second. I don't see the path. And while I don't see Celtics either, at least Danny Ainge has made an attempt to set himself up with assets, i.e. draft picks, and some players here or there that may be valuable, Brandon Bass for one, if they can find a way to flip Tayshaun Prince if he turns out to be healthy anytime soon, that would be a surprise to me, but something that's better than nothing. Whereas I'm looking at the Knicks' future draft pick status and things like that, and their big thing is that they're getting some stuff from the Carmelo Anthony trade next year in 2016. That's when they have the option to swap. The Nuggets have the option to swap with them. So they probably aren't even in a good spot then. And I'm looking at this, I was just looking at this wrong. So the Knicks really haven't set themselves up as well as the Celtics. So while I could be criticizing Danny Ainge, tonight is not that night. I'm criticizing the Knicks because their crop of stuff is just, it looks like crap. It looks like there's nothing there. And I don't see where they're going with this. So for one of the franchises that's supposed to be the old school, we're one of the best franchises in the history of the NBA, yada, yada, all this. I don't see where they're going with it. And I think it's wonderful. I'm just going to bask in it for a little while.
Well, the Knicks are certainly in a bad position, but you have to remember also that they were in a different position than the Celtics were, in that the Knicks they had a free agent superstar. Regardless of what you think of Carmelo Anthony, the Knicks certainly valued him.
Sure,
and
definitely.
And so, but my point is they had to make a pretense at, like, we're going to try to win to get Carmelo Anthony to come back, and all of their moves didn't work out. You know, they traded Tyson Chandler. They're trying to make the same argument now. It's like, okay, we're going to have a bunch of money, because that's what they're going to have, is a bunch of money, and we're New York, so, you know, maybe we can sign a guy in this offseason. And maybe they will, but probably they won't have, they won't be able to bring in enough guys to make the Knicks suddenly turn around next year, and that's one of the guys they bring in as a superstar. But the point being is, like, it's like they had to try to win, whereas Danny Ainge had the luxury of, you know, immediately tearing down the team, and he's not only having to appease anyone, including ownership, but he also has that championship in his back pocket where, you know, he can say, hey, have faith in me. And, you know, by and large, Celtics fans have had faith in Danny Ainge. How long that lasts is an eternally fascinating question to me. But for now, like, he has the luxury that, you know, they don't have in New York. They brought Phil Jackson in not to, you know, win 6 years from now. Phil Jackson's old. You know, Phil Jackson's got to make a move. So I think that's what we're looking at with them.
Right, so we're just waiting for them to make their move? Is that what that's what you think? Is that they're just going to make this big splash, or they're going to at least try?
Yeah, they're going to try. That's it. I mean, they already tried, and they really couldn't try that much. But they traded away Chandler and what's his face, that point guard, or Jameer Nelson.
And Felton. The idea that wasn't even a good trade, Felton. Though. I was looking at that trade for them earlier too. That was a nothing trade, man. They screwed themselves with that one. If they thought that was going to be something good for them, like that.
Well,
I'm going to pull up the exact trade right now, but it wasn't good for the Knicks.
No, but the idea was that the Chandler sort of had begun to fall out with Carmelo Anthony, and they were worried about, you know, continuing to have Chandler on the team might affect his relationship with Carmelo. And so, like, he had to be... And last year, their point guards last year were so disastrous. And what's his name? Calderon was so good last year in Dallas. Like, he shot, like, 55%. He had, like, crazy numbers last year. If you just look at his offensive game, they thought bringing him to New York, you know, would work well in their system. It hasn't worked out for them. I mean, you know, Calderon hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been nearly as good as he was last year. And obviously... losing Chandler was going to hurt regardless.
Right, and I guess they're happy with Shane Larkin. That may be part of the trade that they are most happy with, I guess. He's a young player that's just a second year in the league, he has some upside.
He looks interesting, yeah. I thought he's quick. He's got some handles. You know, he probably needs to learn to shoot like a lot of young guys, but if he does, right. Yeah, well, he could be something. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
All right. I think that's all the Knicks bashing I'll do tonight. But I do want to ask you one more question that sort of – it's something that Brad Stevens said before the game that I heard in one of the interviews that he did. And I think it's – I should have said it – I should have rolled it into something I was talking about earlier because I kind of hinted at it. But I'll ask you now. And basically, Brad Stevens was saying that everyone in the NBA as a player is there because they have a superior skill or an elite type of skill that someone somewhere along the line has identified. Now, we've bashed the Knicks quite a bit tonight, Lou Amundsen in particular. Do you agree with that assessment that Brad Stevens throws out there, that every player in the NBA is there because of a specific skill and that they belong there? Or do guys like Brian Scalabrine get free rides and Lou Amundsen get rides because they're big? Maybe that's not necessarily a skill.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I think that like the NBA is comprised of like only the best players like available in America, and like everybody else, you know, is somebody who's not, you know, in the NBA. No, it's obviously guys make rosters because they have opportunities. Like maybe a team, like Lou Amundsen made a team because a team was power forward deficient, and you know, they drafted him. And once you get NBA minutes, like once teams know what you are, like they're more likely to re-sign Amundsen than, you know, for the league minimum than to pull up a D league guy. So once you have that rep, you know, he plays decent defense sometimes. He's a hustle guy, like coaches like hustle guys, but I don't know necessarily that that's a skill set that, like, he's more skilled than guys who aren't in the NBA. I can't buy that. It's a combination of opportunity and, you know, hustle, ability, and just your situation. Like, and your talent, of course. I'm not saying he's, you know, nowhere near an NBA player, but
I'm not trying to say that either, but I just feel like I'm surprised that he's sort of stuck around this long. Although I guess he is kind of a big body, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just something that I was thinking about off of what Brad Stevens said, as far as everybody in the league is there for a reason. I have a hard time believing that, but maybe I'm just a cynic.
Well, you know, maybe that reason is because he's big, like you're saying. It's like there are only so many 6'10" dudes in the world. Yeah, I don't know if he's that big, but
would you say there's like a million 6'10" dudes in the world?
I highly doubt that there's a million. A million? Yeah. How many 6'10" people have you met in your life?
I don't know. Probably not a lot. But if there were a million, they could all be part of the million listeners that CLNS Radio has had since 2000, and it's growing. More and more listeners, day by day, just like Rowski. I should play Yo Soy Fiesta right now. I'm actually going to do that. There
Yo
it is.
Yo Soy Fiesta.
All right. Part of the reason that CLNS Radio is continuing to grow is because people like our million listeners, go and download our apps on their iPhones from iTunes and on their Android market, on their Android devices, and they rate us. So please go do that now or later or tomorrow. Just do it, please. And while you're at it, clnsradio.com/patrons is a exciting place to check out how you can continue to help us help you by signing up to get your V-neck t-shirt or insulated travel mug, and it'll keep our programming ad-free. You just get to hear these beautiful live reads by me, and I will just stumble through them, and then you can point and laugh at me. So go to clnsradio.com/patrons and do that. Point and laugh at me. Right, Calvin? That's what you do, yeah?
Yeah, man. No, I'm involved in the live reads. I'd like to join in.
Yeah, I'm slipping on some of these things. It's fine, though. I'll pick it back up. Who's listening to the end of the Celtics Knicks podcast anyway? We've done our Knicks bashing, right?
Damn right.
That's all you needed to listen to. That's all you needed to listen for.
Yeah, I should leave an Easter egg. I should say, like, the word donuts. Like, next time I'm on a show, call and say the word donuts to let me know that you've made it to the end of this podcast.
It worked something like that at Patreon and clnsradio.com/patrons. Because we've worked other things into it, like receiving HD video content that other people don't have access to at certain levels. And of course, the monthly giveaways, many different autographs from Boston sports legends. And the big one is a Bill Russell and Sam Jones autograph basketball that has not been given away, to my knowledge. So I hope I'm not getting your hopes up, but that's still available. Go to clnsradio.com/patrons to see it all and check it out. That's going to do it for us, I think, tonight, Calvin, unless there's anything else specifically about this game or in general that you want to talk about. The Tankathon is on in New York. Celtics win 108-97.
I feel good, Rui. Always a pleasure doing games with you. And, hopefully next time I watch the Celtics, they're playing a team that's at least watchable.
That's at least watchable. I'll keep that in mind as I do the schedule. I'm pretty sure that you're probably watching the Lakers next, but we'll see about that. Anyway, that team is – you tell me, Calvin, is that team watchable?
No, it is not. Not watchable.
No, they're not. Maybe I'll try and sneak you into another show. I don't know if I've got you on one before then, but we'll find out. Until then, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, and Mike Fay is going to tell you the same thing right now. Good night.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
Lynda.com. Yeah.
This has been the